sometimes are hard to understand. We see his goodness, and yet we see his severity, and we see everything in between. Today I'd like to discuss one of his qualities that I believe many people misunderstand. They get the wrong impression of God and thus have a total misunderstanding of who God really is. They base their belief on this wrong concept of God, and it affects the whole. Being a jealous God. Many people look at this quality of God and look at God as nothing more than an egomaniac. The only reason God created man was so that he could be worshipped and honored and praised. To feed his ego, so to speak. But this is not the picture that's revealed of God in the New Testament or in the Bible. And today I'd like to examine the scriptures and see what they have to say about this important quality of God. To get the true concept of God and what when it says that God is a jealous God, what does that mean? When we define the word jealous, the word jealous is described as a feeling of ill will, ranging over to anger, based upon a perceived advantage or a desire for an exclusive relationship. So in other words, when someone is jealous of someone else, it's because, number one, they have something that they want, that we desire. We're perceiving in our minds that they are somehow better than us because they have something that we don't. We're jealous over someone because of a relationship maybe that we're perceived or that we imagine that they have with a particular person or thing. We feel that we deserve this relationship and we don't like this particular person or thing because they pay more attention to them than they do to me. And we see this all the time in family relationships and the sibling relationships. How many times have you heard people say, well, mom and dad loved you more than they did me? You always get the new clothes and I get the hand-me-downs. Mom and dad always buy you things and they never buy me things. And so they're jealous. They envy. They have bad feelings between brothers and sisters. And there may be a perfect explanation of why the things happened the way that they did. And maybe they were just perceiving something that wasn't really true. But we see this idea of jealousy even in the workplace. Promotion instead of me. I feel I deserve that, but the boss gave it to him instead of me. The boss likes him or her more than he likes me. And this may not be true at all. They may be better qualified to do the job, and so that's why they got it. But we start having ill feelings towards that person because they got something that we desired, that we felt we should have had. And we become jealous and envious. In the New Testament, this idea is said to be evil, something we are to avoid. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 19 through 21, this idea of being envious is listed in the things that Paul says we need to avoid. These things that are listed among the works of the flesh. He says in Galatians chapter 5, as he starts mentioning these things, he tells us in verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, seditions, and heresies. Verse 21, envyings and murderers and drunkenness and revelings of the such like, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul lists envyings here in this jealousy. If we have these things in our hearts, he says, we will not make it to the kingdom of God. These things are said here that we need to avoid. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, as the Apostle Paul was describing the ungodly and righteous man, in Romans chapter 1, notice in verse 29, he mentions this idea of being envious. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, these ungodly people, look at how they behave. He says, they're being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, and haters of God. And the list goes on and on and on. He talks about the ungodly man and how he is a jealous person. He has envy in his heart. He's full of jealousy. And we see their fate of these people in verse 32. Paul says, God says they're not worthy to live, but they ought to die. And one other one in James chapter 3 and verse 18. James, the Lord's brother, talks about envy and jealousy. And notice what he has to say in James chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Where jealousy and envy are present, every work, evil work is present as well. But we do see one good thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, if we have love, Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren about love, and he said, "Love envies not." If you have true love in your heart, you will not envy anyone individual. You see, envy is not a good quality for man to have. It's listed among the evil practices of man. It's something that we need to avoid. So how come the Bible says that God is jealous? As if it's something to be admired about Him. We read in our scripture this morning, reading in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, at first glance it seems like this is one of God's bad characteristics. He says, "I don't want you to have any other gods before me. No graven images, nothing like that. I am to be first in your life. I am to be the one that you worship." He says God is jealous, is an envious God. And Moses, remember when he was warns the people about the idolatry that they were about to warn them about falling into idolatry and worshiping all these false gods. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, notice in verse 23 and 24. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 23 and 24. It says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God." The Bible talks about God being jealous. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 17 through 21, right after he made the statement that choose you this day who you will serve. And they said that we will serve the God of heaven. Well, notice what Joshua says right after that. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 17. Right after the people made the statement that we will serve the Lord. We will choose to serve the Lord. But notice what transpires after that in verse 17 of Joshua 24. He says, "For the Lord your God is he that brought you up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people throughout whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also serve the Lord, for he is our God." Verse 19. "But Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord your God, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign idols or foreign gods, then he will turn and do harm and consume you after he has done good to you.'" Verse 21. "And the people said to Joshua, 'No, but we will serve the Lord.'" Joshua says, God is a holy God. He is a jealous God. And he must be served in that way. And then in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14. God says, "My name is Jealousy." God told Moses as he was receiving the second set of the Ten Commandments that his name is Jealous. So based on this definition and the scriptures that claim that God is a jealous God, that he has ill will, sometimes even angry when men worship other gods instead of him, how is that quality in God a good quality? And how is that different from the quality that he tells us to stay away from? Is there a double standard here? It's okay for God, but we can't be that way. No, we see in scriptures that God is a jealous God. And it did lead him to anger sometimes. He was mad at them because of the evil that they were doing. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 14, we see how good God was to his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verses 1 through 14, he talks about all the good things that God did for them. But then we come down to verse 16. Notice what transpires here. "But they provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. says they sacrificed to demons and not to God, to gods that they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see their end will be what will be. And they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols, but I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn in the lowest hell, and it shall consume the earth with her increase and set fire on the foundations of the mountains. Verse 23, I will heap disasters on them, and I will spend my arrows on them, and they shall be wasted in hunger, devoured by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts with the poison of serpents in the dust. The sword shall destroy outside, and there shall be terror within. For the young man and the virgin, the nursing child and the man of gray hairs, I would have said, I will dash them to pieces. I will make the memory of them to cease from among men. God was mad with these people that they had provoked him to jealousy, to anger, and a fire kindled in his heart. And we see the same situation in Psalm 78. Asaph talks about in the goodness of God's that God has done to his people in verses 42 through 55. But we see in verse 56 through 64, he relates how his people forgot all the good things that God had done for them, and they turned from serving him. Verse 58 says, they moved him to jealousy with their graven images. And that jealousy turned to anger and punishment of his people. So how come this is bad for us, but somehow good for God? I'm confused, aren't you, when you just look at that from what was just presented? How do we reconcile these differences? Or is that we just take it what the Bible says? It's okay for God, but we can't do it. I don't believe that's true. And I don't think we should accept that. It just doesn't make any sense. So what sense can we make of this? Let's continue on in our lesson this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul told Timothy to exercise yourself to godliness. Train yourself for godliness. We need to be like God is what Paul is telling Timothy here. To be like God. So we see here we've been talking about God being jealous. So how do we reconcile that? When it says God, we need to be like God. Well, notice in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It's something good if we be like God, and we're happy to be like that. But notice in verse 11, he says, we need to flee evil, but follow after godliness, to be like God. Being like him is something that we should aspire to reach for and pattern our lives after in everything except jealousy. Really, is that what they're saying? Does that make any sense? We're to be like God in every way except jealousy. I can't be like him in jealousy. Well, how do we explain that? Let's see if we can dig into this a little bit deeper. Man, when we look at man's jealousy, we're jealous over something that we want or that we need, something that we don't have and wish we did. Take, for example, our neighbors. Our neighbors just got that brand new car. Oh, man, I love that car. Nice sports car. I've always wanted one of those, and he got one. It's got all the latest gadgets on it and everything, and they have it, and I don't, and I'm jealous because of it. Or they've got that beautiful house, all the modern conveniences, the wide open spaces, that elegant kitchen, the master suite. Oh, it's so beautiful. They have it, but I don't, and I'm jealous. Or maybe we're jealous because of some skill someone has that we don't. They can just fix anything. Something breaks in the house, that person can fix anything. I don't know which end of the screwdriver to use, some people say. But they can fix anything, and they become jealous of them because they can do that. Some people get jealous of others because they've got a good job. I'm stuck at this minimum wage job and I can't get ahead. And they've got all this great job. They love doing it. They're making lots of money and got a lot of stuff. And they become jealous of them because of that. Others become jealous because of someone's outer beauty. The beautiful hair. The beautiful face. The beautiful figure. How come her husband looks like muscle bodybuilder, and mine looks like he's pregnant all the time? And I'm jealous. They've got that and I don't. But we see we become jealous of people because of things that we want. Someone else has it and I want it and I don't have it. And so ill will and ill feelings start to take place. This is why the New Testament tells us to avoid being jealous, to get envy out of our lives. That's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8 that envy leads to many things. He says in 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. But having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." We don't need to be jealous of individuals. But you see, God's jealousy is not like that. It's totally different. God is jealous not because of something he wants or his needs. His type of jealousy is not like that of man. His jealousy is quite different. God is jealous over something that is given to another that rightfully belonged to him. And that's why he got so mad at the people. He deserved their honor and glory and praise, and they gave it to someone else. In Exodus 34, in verses 14 through 17, we see God telling the people this. In Exodus chapter 34, notice in verse 14. Well, let's pick up in verse 13. He says, "But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you to eat of his sacrifice. And you take of his daughters and for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molten image of gods for yourselves." You see, God is jealous over Israel. Why? Because the people were playing the harlot. They were playing the ill woman. God was to be their husband. They were to be his bride. And they were playing the prostitute with other nations. They were giving them the affection and the love and the honor that God deserved. Honor that belonged to God. God took Israel to be his wife, so to speak, when she was worthless. She was a tramp. He cleaned her up. He fixed her hair. He did her nails. He clothed her in beauty that no other woman on earth could be clothed with. And he took her to be his bride. And then she goes off and sleeps with another man. That's why God was jealous. You see, many think that God has this great big ego that has to be fed. Many see God like this vain woman who desires to be praised. She needs the attention. And they think God is just like this woman. He created man just so he could be praised and he could be honored. That he is so great and wants all his creation to praise him. That's the only reason they think God created man. It's like some parents, people think. They have children just so their children can praise them. Just so they can get something on Mother's Day and Father's Day. That's not it at all. Parents have children because they want someone to love and someone to love them back, to cherish. And it's the same thing with God. He took Israel and us when we were nobodies and made us into something special, something really special to him. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we saw in verses 16 through 26 how the Israelites provoked God to jealousy. Because they had forgotten all the good that God had done for them. How special he made them. And yet they turned their backs on him. He gave them the very best of the land. He took care of them. He guided them. He protected them from their enemies. And made them into a special people. Greater than any other people on the face of the earth at the time. And how did they repay him? With praise and honor. Giving him glory. No, they went a-whoring after someone else. They gave what rightfully belonged to God to someone who didn't deserve it. To devils, to pieces of wood and gold and stone. Gods that could do none of the things that God the Father of Heaven did for them. Yet they gave them the glory and the honor that and God was jealous. He should have gotten the praise, the honor, and the glory, and not these idols. In Psalm 78, verses 56 through 64, we saw how God turned his wrath upon these Israelites. How they provoked God to send his wrath instead of his blessings. Why? Notice all the good that that God had done for them. In verse 42, Psalm 78, in verse 42, he says, "They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from their enemy. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the fields of Zoan. And he turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent diverse sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, and destroyed them. And he gave to their increase to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. And he destroyed their vines with the hail and the sycamore trees with frost, and he gave up their cattle also with the hail and the flocks and the hot thunderbolts, and he cast them in the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil among them." Verse 50, "And he made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, and he gave their life over to the pestilence." He's talking about to the Egyptians here, not to his people. "And he smote all the firstborn of Egypt and the chief of their strength and their tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people," verse 52, "go forth like sheep, guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them to safety so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of their sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. And he cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies." How they provoked God to his wrath instead of continuing to bless them. He sent the calamities on the people of Egypt that were enslaving them, and the laying the heavy, almost unbearable burdens upon his people. God saw their plight and it grieved him. And he did all these great and wonderful things for them. But they forsook him and went and worshipped other gods. We see how horrible they treated God. How he was so good to them, gave them everything that they needed and more. And would have given him more if he wanted. But when it came time to praise and honor him, they turned and gave that to someone else. How terrible is that? We say that should have never happened to God. But I ask ourselves this morning, are we any better than they are, than they were? Is that why God is jealous over our big screen TVs? Our sporting events, maybe our comfortable beds, parties, our jobs, our families, everything else that we put before him, those things that we honor instead of honoring God. How many times do we stay up late at night on Saturday night watching TV and then can't get up Sunday morning, or drag into services Sunday morning half asleep? How many times do we watch movies instead of studying our scriptures? Scriptures that can make us wise. How many times do we attend sporting events that come up instead of worship on Sunday morning? Or go to baby showers or wedding showers or all kinds of parties rather than to worship God? How many of us put our jobs before God? How jealous God must be of them. They think more of building automobiles or flipping burgers than serving me. How many times do we put families ahead of our worship to God? Just last year, Christmas Day fell on December 25th, or on a Sunday. We had some visitors come from a local congregation of the Church of Christ. Inquired about why they were here, and they said, "Our congregation shut the services down. They closed the service this morning. They said it'd be better if we stayed home and be with our family." Really? Than to worship God? Their families were more important than worshiping the God of heaven. And they chose rather to be with them than to be with God. how despicable people that call themselves Christians can be. All these things to them mean more than their worship to God. How many times have we provoked God to jealousy over something we have done because we put more value on that than onto Him? How many times do you think God wishes He could be as meaningful to us as our big screen TVs or our vacations or our some sporting event or party or work or family? Some have traded the golden calves and the Asherah poles and various idols for movies and sporting events and parties and family and jobs. All the things they put before their service to God. Things that provoke God to jealousy, provoke Him to pour out His wrath upon those who gave their affection to someone or something else. Affection and love that belong to Him. God is truly a jealous God. God has been so good to us as well. All the blessings, both physical and spiritual, He has given us. Yet to whom or to what do we give our affections to? In Ephesians chapter 5, there's a comparison between the church and a marriage, the bride of Christ. In verse 24, he tells the wives to submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. In verse 25, he tells husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And in verse 32, he says there's great mysteries concerning Christ and the church and how they intermingle and the comparisons that they make. And in Revelation chapter 19, we see that great scene where the church is presented to Christ, His bride, all adorned in her, all her greatness, all her beauty. Notice in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 19, he says, "And I heard as it was the voice of the great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord omnipotent God reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that we should be arrayed, that she should be arrayed in fine linen and clean and white, for the fine linen and the righteousness of the saints." Verse 9, "And He saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Can you imagine that picture when the church, that beautiful church, is presented to Christ in all of its glory and all of its beauty? When we think, stop and think about our marriage, those of us that are married, in our marriage ceremony, we would have done anything at that time for our wives or for our husbands. They meant that much to us. And yet some people throw that all away. They go whoring after the other woman, the other man. You see, that's why adultery is so bad. It's so evil, because people take the love and affection that is due their spouse and they give it to someone else. Someone who didn't deserve it. Now we can know what God was feeling like when Israel went after the foreign gods of the land. Let me close this morning with a passage in Psalm 78 and verse 58. It says, "For they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their graven images." Can we see how important it is to get the proper understanding of God, His qualities and His characteristics? If you believe that God is nothing more than an egomaniac, just needs our praise and our worship and craves it to feed His ego, would you really sacrifice your life for Him? If you felt that way, would you sacrifice your life as the apostles did in the early centuries? Die for Him just to feed His ego and to get more people to feed His ego? If you felt He was some egomaniac, would you do the hard things that God is requiring us as Christians just to feed His ego, to puff up His pride? Would we really do that? I think not. But those who see him as a loving God, who sees to our every need, who cares for us so much, he loved us so much, and all he wants, all he deserves, is our love in return. To be thankful for all he has done for us, to praise him as our God, that's all he wants. Is that so hard to do? Is that too hard to understand? God showed how much he loved his creation, all of it, by sending his son to die for us all. He knew we needed more than just stuff, food and clothing and houses to live in. He knew that we needed the forgiveness of our sins for the times that we do disobey him. We disobey the commands he gave us to make our lives better. Things that we need to stay away from that would harm us, that would ruin a relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. He gave us good commands if we will embrace them. Commands that will enhance our lives and make them better, more fulfilling, more rewarding. But there are times when we disobey and we sin against him. And we need his forgiveness, his mercy, and his grace. God sent his son to pay the price for our sins, to take away the punishment that we deserved. On that cross, God loved us so much. The question is this morning, will we return that love? If you're not a child of God this morning, will you become one? Will you turn your sinful life over to a God that loves you and cares for you and will do anything he possibly can for you? He sent his son to this earth to die for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're a sinner in need of forgiveness and believe that Jesus is the answer to your dilemma? Will you confess him before men that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Be willing to repent of your sins and turn from your wicked life and turn to serve the God of heaven, to be baptized in water and wash those sins away, and to live faithful to the God of heaven for as long as you live, to do the best of your ability until you die, to give him the honor and the glory and the praise that he deserves, and receive the love that God has prepared for you. Are you subject to the Lord's invitation this morning? If so, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing for your encouragement.